We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football, my friends, it is almost upon us. It is back. Your Miami Hurricanes this Saturday take the field, opening up their season against Bethune-Cookman. It is time for the Canes Insight Report, brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanwear. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit caneswear.com. Peter Ariz from canesinsight.com joining us, Peter. Peter, how pumped are you, man?
Alex, we've made it. It's finally here. I mean, it's pretty exciting, that's for sure. But game week, man, I mean, could not be more excited. A lot of buzz around this program right now. I think it just feels like it's been slowly building right over the summer. I mean, there were a lot of expectations after spring and kind of after the way Miami finished last season, and it's been a positive off season, I would say, for this program. Obviously, everyone knows the momentum they have recruiting wise, but knock on wood, but it's been a positive camp, I would say, and here they are ready for game week. So very excited to see how things shake out.
And you talk about hype and positivity. Like, I'm seeing some of these national talking heads and college football analysts who are saying, okay, Miami is going to go 11-1 this year. They're going to win the Coastal. They're going to face Florida State in the ACC championship game. Are you surprised by how much good pub Miami is getting from people who don't cover this team on a daily basis?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I did see, I think it was Desmond Howard who had Miami in his playoff at the end of the season. But look, I mean, I think people, when they see Miami, for people who don't follow the team, daily like we do, they see the strong side on the defensive side of the ball there, and that's something that wins championships in today's game of college football. And the second year push with a head coach, it seems to be the trend. For the last 10 years, there's been big success for second-year head coaches at their programs. And as we say, it seems like every week on the show, Mark Richt is a proven winner, and he has this place, this program, in a good spot right now. And I think people – look, I think people actually – of course, the recruits aren't playing on the field this year, but I think they see the positive momentum with all of this, that type of stuff surrounding the program as well, which, if you aren't following the team every day, could build hype. But again, as I've said, I do believe this team is for real. I do believe that this is a team that wins the ACC Coastal this year. And, we'll see how the offensive side of the ball plays out. I think there's a ton of talent there. The big question mark, of course, still, what are we going to see from the quarterback position? But you have a lot of talent around that.
Do you feel like Malik Rozier is really now embracing this starting role? Because, the last 2 years as Brad Kaya's backup, had a redshirt year before that. You have to really change your approach now that you're the guy, right? Because he could approach things for the last couple of years as the backup to one of the better starting quarterbacks in the country, and now he is the man. Do you think he's adjusted his mindset?
Right, and you just touched on it there, but even Malik himself has said that before Coach Richt got here, he wasn't really watching film all that much. That just wasn't his mindset. Even though, he was the backup guy, or at least last year at times, as Coach Richt said, it was him at some point. It was, Evan Sheriff at some point. It was Vinny Testaverde at some point. So this was a big, I think the spring was a big adjustment period for him for sure. And I think that's why, if you look back at some of the comments that Coach Richt made in the spring, he wasn't out there giving glowing praise to any of his guys. So you saw a big transformation in the way that, he approached his daily routine out there, as far as, getting in the film room and getting out to the practice field, or all those sorts of things that go into being not only a good passer of the football, but a leader within the locker room. You saw the change just from, again, what Coach Richt was saying, and saying, look, that's why he's the starter right now, is because he showed that consistency, showed that leadership, and that maturity really as well, because he is the only guy in this race with that game experience. It was one game. Everyone knows it was against Duke, but that goes a long way, and I think, as we saw, it went a long way in how he won this quarterback race. But, again, I think that at some point we could still see the freshmen see the field, Nikosi Perry, because, as I said a few times on this show, I just think they want to see what they have in him, and he's continuing to progress from everything I've heard.
Do you think Perry plays this week? Obviously not starting, to clarify, but does he play at all? Because we're going to see, I think, three or four quarterbacks play in this game.
I think he plays. I think he plays potentially, you know, in that third, fourth quarter, late in that third quarter, fourth quarter. I mean, he's not just going to jump over Evan Sheriff. They're going to get Evan Sheriff some work as well, I would imagine, because he is ahead of Perry on the depth chart. But this would be his first opportunity, of course, at the college level against, you know, something other than the guys on his own team. So I think, look, it's one of those things where if he goes out there and he shows that, you know, he can hold on to the football, again, it is Bethune-Cookman, but he can go out there and not make any freshman mistakes. It's not a situation where there would be a whole lot of pressure. That's just step one for him. You have to show that first before, you know, Rick can say, I can trust this kid going into Tallahassee week three, which, you know, well, that still seems like it's a little bit early in the season, the way that things have played out for him to be a starter in that game. But, again, I think we'll see him on Saturday at some point.
Peter Ruiz, CanesInsight.com and OutTheHuddle.com, joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Pete, talk to me about this depth chart for Saturday, season opener, Miami hosting Bethune-Cookman, 12:30 p.m. So a couple of freshmen we've talked about a lot in recent weeks and months. Mike Harley, he's a starter on the depth chart. Trajan Bandy, he's a starter. Are there any other things? And you can expand on those, of course, and anything else that jumps out at you.
Yeah, Alex, it's cool to see those two guys, Harley and Bandy, because, you know, we try to cover recruiting on this show almost weekly, and those are two guys that you and I have discussed at length, you know, since even before they signed with Miami. So they've come in, both of them, and done a great job. Mike Harley going to be the starting receiver opposite of Amon Richards, who right now it does not look like he will be playing on Saturday, dealing with a bit of a hamstring issue. They you know, don't want him to tweak anything with some bigger games coming up, of course. But Harley is absolutely dynamic. I think he gets in the end zone this weekend without a doubt. I'm pretty confident that Mike Harley will score a touchdown this weekend. He has absolutely just, you know, put on a show in fall camp from everything that I've heard. One of the most dynamic players on the team already. Again, that infusion of speed at the wide receiver spot between him, Jeff Thomas, you know, even DJ Dallas, you know, not the same sort of speed, but a bigger body. That receivers group is really strong. And then Trajan Bandy going to be starting the nickel corner spot. So that's a place that I think he'll have a ton of success this season. Canes fans will, you know, of course, last year really fell in love with Corn Elder's game because he wasn't the biggest guy out there. He wasn't even the fastest guy, but he just made plays, showed really good football instincts. I think you'll see a lot of those same sort of characteristics coming from Trajan Bandy early in his career. And then the one note that I've had a million people ask me about over the last week when this depth chart came out was, why is Mike Smith, a redshirt junior linebacker, starting over Mike Pinckney?
Right.
And Canes fans seem to forget that he got and a lot, you know, nothing wrong with it because it was a while ago, but Pinckney was ejected in the second half of that West Virginia game for the targeting call, and that carries over to the next game for the first half. So that's why he's not starting, but you'll see him in the game as well. He missed some time early on with camp with you know, some minor hamstring things, but he's good to go now. And then the last note that I would say is that Zach Fiegels won that punter's job. The freshman, of course, Jeff Fiegels' son, former Canes great, former New York Giant for a long time in the NFL. He came in as a true freshman, and this is a guy who was Under Armour All-American. I mean, one of the top punters in the country. This guy is weighing 225 pounds right now. I mean, he played some running back at times in high school. So he came in and, you know, did what was expected at the punter spot, which is win that job. So those were just some things off the top of my head for sure.
What about defensive end Scott Patchen moving to tight end? What's going on with that?
Yeah, so from what I understand, just, you know, talking to some people, this isn't it's more of an experimental thing, more of an in case of emergency, because Patchen has actually been really good in camp, and this is a guy who's had a couple bad knee injuries, but he's dynamic as a pass rusher. He's probably quote unquote a third string defensive end, but that's nothing to be ashamed of with the depth of this group. And he is going to see the field defensively for sure. But you look at the tight end spot, and we've known that this is an area of concern for a long time. Chris Herndon feel very good about what you have there. I think he'll be an NFL guy for sure after this. You know, after this season, meaning you know top three, four mid round pick, maybe earlier than that. But Michael Irvin. After that, really the only guy that I would say they would want to play right now, I think if it was up to them, they would like to redshirt Brian Pelendi. I don't know if it's going to be able to happen, but you have three guys on scholarship there. If they don't really want to play the freshman, you have two, and then you have walk-on Malik Curry as well. But Patchen's a big guy who, you know, the coaches said, look, the thing is that he does have hands. Something that I actually heard is that Joseph Jackson, one of the starting defensive ends, who's an absolute freak, led Miami as a freshman in sacks last year. He was begging the coaches to get an opportunity to play some tight end.
Oh, wow.
And he's a former basketball guy in high school, too, 6'5", 265. He's a freak athlete, but they kind of didn't want to, I don't think the defensive coaches we're going to go for that.
Yeah, he's way too good at defense. Unless you're going to find a way to make him a two-way player, like he's way too good to take off the D line.
Right, exactly. So I think that was more about what went behind it. But again, you know, Patchen's a guy that you have to really commend. Like I said, two bad knee injuries. He's the team's asking him to play a little bit of. Remember, if you remember, Stanis Dobart did something kind of the opposite thing last year when he was tight end. They asked him to move to defensive end for a little bit, but I think ultimately he will be a defensive end even if he does see some time at tight end this year. But I think he'll be a guy who gets some sacks for the Canes this year as well.
And speaking on the defensive line, Peter, as Peter Ariz joins us here on WQAM, Gerald Willis, he's back in school. He's back with the team, although he's not going to play this season. What's going on there with Willis, and do you expect he will be a part of things in 2018?
So this has been a situation that the school hasn't necessarily given us all the information, but this is what I know, and from piecing things together and kind of talk to some people behind the scenes. So Willis left the program, was taking a leave of absence, according to Mark Richt, back in July. He said he's not enrolled in classes right now. He's not with the team right now, and he will not be playing this season. And this was back in July again. He did not give any details after that. Didn't say if it was a personal issue. He did not give any specifics. Willis was out in L.A. over the summer, staying in shape. And he was not in school. He was not enrolled in classes with a lot of the other guys. But school started up back last week at UM. He's back enrolled in school. He would have another year of eligibility. He's not going to play this year. He's back practicing with the team, which is the oddest thing, which leads me to believe, and don't like to speculate on things like this, but it leads me to believe that has something to do with eligibility, because he was not enrolled in classes the semester before, and he was already in school before that, but he was not here in class. And from my understanding, I don't think he would be able to play, even though he is back in class now. So he'll be practicing, staying in shape. He could technically turn pro because he's eligible to do so. He could have done it after this year too, but he missed some time with injury. I just don't see him having enough film to make that jump. And he's giving every indication that he will be back to play for next year, which, by the way, if you've been following this thing at defensive tackle, Norton and McIntosh, both of those guys with big seasons, could potentially jump. Even if it's one of them, it's a loss. if you could preserve a year of Willis's eligibility here by him not playing this year, because in my belief, talking to people, if he would have had a solid season, he would have been gone after this year. So if you can have him for next year, that's a huge win. It's almost like adding another recruit in there. So that's the situation right now. If you can follow, it's a bit confusing, but it as of right now, it looks like he will be a part of this team moving forward.
Peter Ruiz from CanesInsight.com and OutTheHuddle.com joins us here for the Canes Insight Report. And, you know, Peter, heading into the opener this Saturday, Miami and Bethune-Cookman, obviously for a game like this, Canes fans aren't worried about losing the game. I think the number one thing you worry about is keeping everybody as healthy as possible. But outside of that, Peter, what are some things you would like to see from this team against Bethune-Cookman? I know it's hard to really judge based on this opponent, but what are some of the objectives you've set for this weekend to say, hey, I can come out of this feeling like Miami is off to a solid start?
Look, I think we kind of know what the defense is going to show out there, but I would just like to see the offense move, smoothly down the field. Even last year at times, early in the season, the offense did not look all that crisp, and it seemed like every week we were saying, it's just because they're playing this opponent. Coach Rick is keeping the offense vanilla. It seemed like that's what we were saying every week, and we were just kind of waiting for them to finally hit where they hit later in the season, of course, and how they finished the year. But in a game like this, you want to see the offense go out there and execute. You want to see Malik Rozier, be accurate with the football. These guys are going to get open for him, hit his spots, and then those guys will go out there and make plays. But that's what I would like to see. I mean, again, on top of the what you want to see without injuries, I know what the defense is going to do out there. I want to see them create some turnovers, but you want to see that offense be pretty crisp out there.
Peter, for some reasons I cannot explain, I have a lot of Bethune-Cookman alumni who listen to this show. They were angry when I said 2 years ago they didn't have a chance against Miami. They lost 45-0. They're angry at me again this year. Of course, I guarantee a Miami victory to the point where the same bet that I made 2 years ago, if Miami finds a way to lose this game by some act of God, I will leave the country. I will move to Tibet and become a Himalayan monk and live out my days on Mount Everest. Do you think I'm safe?
I think you are. I think you're in the clear, Alex. I don't think you have anything to worry about. But I'm interested to see. Are you going to be wearing one of those what was it you had to wear last year?
The kilt. I do have to wear a kilt because I lost a dopey preseason football bet to one of my producers. So I do need to wear the kilt again sometime soon.
All right. Well, we'll be keeping tabs on that, I'm sure, every week.
Oh, man. Peter Ruiz does an amazing job. CanesInsight.com and OutTheHuddle.com. And Pete, I know that this is the time of year for Brett at Miami Fanwear, Caneswear at Miami Fanwear, to rejoice because the season is back. He's got all the great gear from the new black jerseys, all the Adidas gear. It's so glorious, Peter.
And look, if you're this weekend, Alex, is about the tailgaters. So, it's the game. I think we know what's going to happen on the field, but if you need your tailgating, equipment, I'll call it out there. Tents, chairs, all that good stuff. Brett has it over there. That's the spot that you want to check out. He has a bunch of goodies like that for tailgating season.
Oh, love it. Cannot wait to pick up my tailgating goods and equipment at Caneswear at Miami Fanwear. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit caneswear.com. And make sure you follow Peter on Twitter, at Peter Ruiz, and check out his work at canesinsight.com and outthehuddle.com. Peter, football is back. I could not be happier right now. And thank you for taking the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
No problem, Alex. Look forward to it.
Yeah, we'll see you out there Saturday.
Yep, see you later, Alex.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.